It's the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Rob Brown, former NHLer, Edmonton Oiler analyst for Ched. We'll get into the fragile Edmonton Oilers. What do you got going, Sammy? You got anything for us?
I'm just keeping my X fingers or Twitter fingers very lively here. I will say, from a Sportsnet perspective, having to do a big, long show tomorrow, it's pretty good so far about the lack of guys
that
have flown off the board here, because it feels like in years past, we've joked that, like, the general managers are doing it on purpose where they get, like, everybody done 2 or 3 days before the actual trade deadline and everybody has to sit there and twiddle their thumbs. A lot of the big targets are still out there, right? Like, I know Gord went out, but, like, Shen hasn't gone anywhere. Maybe he won't. Lawton. There's lots to talk about.
And anyways, Brad Marchand?
If we put
Brock Nelson?
Yeah, we'll discuss. But if we put Rantanen in at the top of the list, is that what's kind of holding things back here?
I heard someone theorize that could be Carolina intentionally holding back the market, right? Because it's to their advantage if other teams are uncertain and scrambling, and it's competition. You're trying to win. The more you can give teams false information, the better.
But at some point, what we believe now, that includes perhaps the Maple Leafs, the Dallas Stars, Vegas, maybe Florida, they all have their own deadline, like to Carolina.
Say, if you don't tell us by noon tomorrow,
noon's too late.
Yeah. Tonight.
Midnight.
Tonight, I think at some point, they got to go. Not only do we have to come up with the right assets for you, I got to negotiate with this guy.
Yeah.
I got to get him under contract.
Well, and that could be part of what's happening right now, is that teams have said, yeah, okay, we would do that deal. You talk to Mikko and see if Mikko wants to do that. And Mikko says, I'm going to be a free agent in 2 months. I'm good.
Yeah, that's the thing to me.
Nate just say anything about it?
Yeah, Nate just had comments.
And this is the player that originally got traded for him a month and change ago.
Yeah, he said, they probably should have known that he was going to sign there when they made that trade. Wow. Well, he's probably mad at the management there. And he's like, if they think they're so smart, maybe they should have thought the guy was going to stay.
I think a lot of people are saying that they've really kind of painted themselves in a corner here, because they are not getting the return that they had hoped, even though they got Chicago to pay 50% mm-hmm. of his salary. Apparently, no team, as of this afternoon, was willing to give them a significant rostered player and upset their own lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think the Kawhi Leonard thing really messed with a lot of people's head, where it was like, you either get the guy and take a shot with him, or you hopefully re-sign him. You try to re-sign him. You do all you can. If it doesn't work out, you get a shot with him. And that's why, to me, if they don't get one of these guys you're talking about, they'll take a shot with them. They're a pretty good team. I got them as one of the four best teams by some of my fancy numbers.
Shen. Because I think Shen has taken a bit of a back door in the conversations here to Rantanen being at the top. Yeah, and I saw that you wrote about it today.
I did, yeah.
Where are we at with Shen?
The ask was really big out of the Toronto Maple Leafs, especially because I don't think that any other team has really shown as much interest as the Leafs, at least up.
Don't bet against yourself.
Going in this week, but it was possibly three blue chip pieces, including your prospects or your first round pick next year.
So like a Cowan Danford first round pick. Two first-round picks, Cowan.
Oh, my God. Yes. For a third liner with a bad contract.
Wow. Scary.
I mean, full respect to the player.
Hence why it's not done.
The years ahead don't appeal to me.
Okay, let's get to Rob Brown, and we'll pick it up as we move forward here. Brownie, how are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Big couple days here.
So, yes.
All right, so does this recent skid by the Edmonton Oilers change the dynamics of going into Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern on a trade deadline for the Edmonton Oilers?
It might not change what the general manager is going to do, but it certainly changed what the fans want. The fans, I mean, personally, I think the Oilers need a top six score. They have tried everybody this year playing with Leon Draisaitl, who's having an MVP type season. Nobody has had success with him. I think going into the playoffs, you'd love to have a top six where Connor runs one line, Leon runs another, and both scare the opposition. They don't have someone that they can play with Leon right now. I think the Oilers certainly need a top four defenseman. Klingberg was, a shot in the dark. Maybe he can turn out to be what he was years ago. It hasn't worked out as well. He's probably a number six here. So they still need a top four. But if you ask the fans here, it's goaltending, goaltending, goaltending. And I don't think Pickard or Skinner have been as good as they were last year. But to me, this is an issue of the defense in front of these two goaltenders. And when I say defense, not the six guys playing each night, I'm talking about team defense. When this team is good, and we saw last year's 16-game winning streak going to Game 7, Stanley Cup Finals, they were a very good defensive hockey club. They, in the last 13 games, they have not been good at all. They have they're averaging like 2-3 breakaways against a game, odd man breaks, wide-open shots in the slot. So this is, to me, I don't think Stan Bowman changes what he expects or what he wants by whatever it is, 1 o'clock tomorrow. But the fans right here, everything you see on social media right now is the fans believe that the Oilers need another goaltender if they want to go to the promised land.
Wow. So do you feel like this Oilers team is better than last year's or in as good a position to go deep?
I don't think they're as good as last year's team. I think you look what they lost in the summer just up front. Holloway, Fogle, McLeod. I did a thing for our podcast about a week and a half ago, so the numbers are a little out of line. They're probably even more discrepancy now. But when I did it, those three players that left scored 44 goals and were plus 40. The three players that were brought in, Arvidsson, Skinner, and Podkolzin, had 23 goals and were plus 6. So just those three players, a difference, they were more physical last year. They were bigger, they were younger, they were faster. So this summer, they made some moves. They became slower, they became older, and not as physical. On the back end, Broberg, there's your top four defenseman that they're desperately needing. He's gone. So there were some mistakes made last year. And the bottom line, though, is right now, there's three players on this Oilers team that have played up to their potential or better than they were last year. Leon Draisaitl, who's having an MVP season, has been excellent. And on the back end, both Nurse and Kulak have outplayed what they did last year. Every other player, including Connor McDavid, and he talked about it, every other player on the Edmonton Oilers has been a lesser player this year than last year. So right now, they're not as good a team that went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Having said that, they still have Connor and Leon, and when you have those two, it gives you a chance every time you play a hockey game.
So if they wanted to go out there and shore up the blue line, Rissalainen's out there. I'm not sure how anybody feels about him, but he's a guy that we believe that could play 15, 17, 18 minutes, maybe 20 a night. Do they have the assets? Do they not have the assets to get those type of deals done? Do they just choose not to use those assets?
Well, the cupboard is close to bare here in Edmonton. They've been throwing assets out the last couple of years, trying to get to that next level. So there's not a whole lot. The only playable asset they have right now would be Matt Savoy, who they traded McLeod for. Savoy, he's looked fine in the games he's had. He's not a this year player. He's a next year player. So there's a guy, and then a couple of junior players. They don't have a lot of draft picks. I'm sure there's teams around the National Hockey League that have more assets than the Oilers have. And then when there's the big question is, do they have Kane's money or not? Mm-hmm. And that's $5 million difference if Kane plays before the season's out or if he sits out on LTIR. So those are questions that haven't been answered. Now, I'm sure that Bowman must have some idea if he can play with that money or not. But this is a team. Oh, tonight, for example, Ekholm is out of the lineup. And they've got Dineen playing tonight. They got Stetcher in there. They got Emberson in there. You look at the Oilers' defense for this hockey game and you think, oh my, what if we don't pick up someone at the deadline and all of a sudden Ekholm gets hurt or a Nurse gets hurt? It becomes very thin on the back end for the Edmonton Oilers. So They need defensive help. A top four guy would be fantastic. Someone that can stop the cycle. They need a big, nasty top four guy that can play physical, because this is not a physical hockey team right now, the Edmonton Oilers.
You know, it's funny hearing you say they need like a top six forward and a top four D. This is getting expensive. But one place they did get a real bargain, I thought, was the Frederick deal. A second and a fourth. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about the prospect, but second and fourth for Trent Frederick is great. How concerned are you about his injury and when he'll get in? But let's say he is playing. You like the fit, I assume.
I do. The team is better with him here. Mm-hmm. They gave up a couple prospects. They might turn out, and they gave up a couple draft picks. I mean, seriously, they gave up four things to get a guy that is supposed to be in your bottom six.
That's just
so. What does a top six guy get you? The thing is, right now with the Oilers, tonight I think it's Podkolzin and Arvidsson are playing with Leon, and I think combined in their last 30 games have two goals. So that's not the top six. Frederick might play in their top six. That might be Leon's winger the day he gets back into the lineup. And I don't know if that's the expectation, but unless the Oilers find something in the next, I guess it's 22 hours, he could get an opportunity in the top six. They've more or less given up on Jeff Skinner. He's a healthy scratch again tonight. He was supposed to be on Leon's line this year, and Arvidsson hasn't produced anywhere close to what he was supposed to produce. So this is a team that, if you would have 3 weeks ago, 13, 14 games ago, you would have thought on the deadline, Stan Bowman, a couple tweaks here, maybe add some depth up front, maybe a 6-7 defenseman on the back end, and we're good. But the Oilers have been exposed in the last 13 games. They've lost 6 of their last 7. I think they have one regulation win in their last 11 games. They've been exposed at times. The Anaheim Ducks came in here. The Ducks were a much faster hockey club than the Oilers, and the Ducks aren't going to make the playoffs. So there are some concerns. But again, this is a team that the core that went to the Game 7 last year is still here. They just haven't played as well as they're capable of playing. They need to find that gear, and hopefully they find it soon.
You're watching and listening to Rob Brown, former NHL forward, covering the Edmonton Oilers. Brownie, so we got to get to McDavid for sure, but just one last thing on Evander Kane. No real clarity, as you just mentioned. So where is the speculation that he thinks he might be ready to play and Edmonton's not ready to put him in? They're trying to trade him. Where do you think this is heading?
It's funny. There's a lot of talk that the Oilers should tell him he can't play till the playoffs. You can't do that. You just can't. It's against the rules. And if it ever came out, there'd be a lot of repercussions from the NHL. When Stone and Kucherov sat out for their teams and didn't come back to the playoff, they both knew. Stone and Kucherov knew that the day they got they dressed the first playoff game, they were going to be exactly in the spot that they left. Kucherov was the best player for Tampa. And Stone was going to be on your first line. He's going to play on your first power play, penalty killing. When Evander Kane, when he's been fully healthy here in Edmonton at times, has been on the third line. He's been on the fourth line. He does not know if all of a sudden they use his money, that money could bring in someone that takes Evander Kane's spot in the top six or the top nine. Yeah. Evander Kane wants to prove that he can play in the top six. If he's capable of playing in the regular season, he would want to. And that's his right as a hockey player. The biggest benefit for the Oilers is if Kane stays on LTIR, comes back in the playoffs, and he's effective and he uses money and become a better team with what you pick up at the deadline. But for all the fans that want him to just, you know what, you got to tell him he can't play. You can't do that. I don't know if they've had the conversation, if he's come out and told the organization. Bowman's got to know before tomorrow if he can spend that money or not. I know that my buddy Shauger just put out that he hasn't worked out back-to-back days yet. So he's still a long ways away from playing an NHL hockey game. I guess we'll see at noon tomorrow whether or not they've got his money to spend, because that is a huge, huge chunk of change that they can go out and get a very effective hockey player for this team.
Mm-hmm. I hope they get an answer soon here. Time's ticking.
Well, every day, every hour that goes by, somebody that you might have wanted has gone somewhere else. And the Vegas Golden Knights got a little bit better. The Colorado Avalanche have gotten a little bit better. And these are, you know as well as I do, in the playoffs, being a little bit better might be the difference between winning Game 7 or losing Game 7.
Yeah, no team would be more aware of that than the Oilers. looking like LA right now, who knows how it shakes out in the postseason. Do you feel like LA is any different? Like, is it the same, going to be another knockdown dragout series?
I think it will. I know Oilers fans are hoping for LA simply because each year the Oilers have beat them a little bit quicker.
Right.
I think the difference between LA past and LA now, I think LA's got better goaltending. I think Darcy Kemper's given them good goaltending. I would expect LA to make some sort of move. The biggest thing that they lack is a game-breaker goal scorer outside of Kempe. I don't know if you can try to beat the Oilers 2-1 four times in a series. And that's the way that LA plays. The one thing that I'm fearful of, and I do believe if the Oilers and LA play in the first round, I'm picking the Oilers to win that. But I also understand odds. In all those years when the Dallas Stars were better than the Oilers, they beat them every year, except that one time where everything went right for the Edmonton Oilers, and they had the big upset. I do believe the Oilers have to get a little better because I think LA will. And that would be, the problem is you don't want to go through LA and then go through Vegas. You'd like to have a little easier round in the first round, but right now the Oilers have been treading water in the Vegas Golden Knights have put a little bit of separation between the two teams.
All right, pal, I got to ask you about Connor McDavid and just the thoughts of him coming back after the Four Nations tournament and kind of looking like a mere mortal, right? I mean, where's the concern now? Where's the concern there?
I don't know if there's ever concern about Connor McDavid. I think there's an expectation as he's going to bounce back and be Connor McDavid. I felt that last game against Anaheim, there was more jump in his game. I mean, it's funny. He's talked about having a down year. He's not happy with it. And he's still, I think, fifth in the league in scoring, which pretty good. But, I mean, this is a guy that you would expect to win the scoring title by 20 points. And every night is the best player on the ice. He hasn't been. This has been Leon's year. They need Connor to be – the Oilers are not good enough through forwards – 4 through 14 to have a above average or just really good Connor. This team was built around Connor and Leon. They're two superstars that play a lot of minutes in every situation. When Connor McDavid gets back to being Connor McDavid, the wins will start to come again. But I don't think there's concern. But this has been an off year for Connor McDavid in the fact that his bar is so high, he just hasn't reached it yet.
Brownie, any personal experience at the trade deadline?
Not at the trade deadline. The Penguins made one of their greatest trades ever at Christmas when they traded me away and picked up Scott Young and then went on to win 2 Stanley Cups. So, no. So, I had never... It is... You're on pins and needles at the deadline, though. You are. It's funny, as fans and as announcers, we're all, like, excited about, where are these players going? But every time you, for example, the Oilers, say they bring 3 players in. That's 3 players in the lineup that are moving down.
Yeah.
Some 3 guys are either out of the lineup or moving down in the pecking order. You lose guys off your team. Those are your best friends. So every team has about 4 or 5 guys that the trade doesn't affect. The rest of the players are affected by a trade, by ice time, by being in and out of the lineup, possibly being moved out because of salary cap problems. So it's exciting for us. And when it's all said and done come playoff time, it's exciting for the players. But for players like myself at the deadline, it was a little more anxiety than for some of the stars or for us here sitting here talking about it. This is fun for us. Not all the players feel the same way.
So between now and, I guess, 1 p.m. your time, trade deadline, you expect to see something added of significance or no?
Well, if Evander Kane is going to be on LTIR for the remainder of the season, or if he's traded, I believe it'd be something of significance. If they don't have his money, it will be depth. They certainly need depth on the back end. So they will be adding a defenseman. I don't know if it's a top 4 guy, but they will be adding a defenseman. I believe even with Frederick and Max Jones, I do believe they'll try to find another forward. They will try to hit a home run if they've got Evander Kane's money, but I just don't know if that's going to come to fruition or not.
A little bit of a wish list with the name Brad Marchand, because
Any team would love Brad Marchand. Oh, my goodness.
How fun would he be for the Oilers?
Oh, having him and Perry, I just put them out to start every game. Have those two guys out there just to irritate the opposition. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Everyone looking out at them going, oh, God, someone else start.
Can we imagine the five guys standing on the blue line on the other team? They're like, why am I in the starting lineup? Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can fantasize on that one, that's for sure. Okay, Brownie, really appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of the week or the trade deadline, and we'll roll the dice and see what happens.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brownie.
Rob Brown. Oh, I forgot to ask him about, like, take a look at his stats, okay? Because we were roughly the same age.
Yeah, I'm looking at him. I got him pulled up.
The guy ended up, like, at certain levels scoring, like, 150 points.
No, he actually had 212 in Kamloops.
But, like, look how many times in his career. No, look, I don't even care about his goals and assists and points. Look how many times he's broken over 100 penalty minutes.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's gross. Like, his first year, he had 115 points, or second year, 115 points and 118 PIMs.
I mean, I always make this joke.
Is he the best NHLer that people don't talk about?
Yeah, he's had
His career statistics are insane.
Insane. Like, he had 180 penalty minutes. One year, he had 155 points. How is that possible?
No, Kamloops, in 85-86, 171 PIMs and 173 points. How's there enough ice time?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
Like, I know some of these 46 points IHL years are crazy.
46 points in 16 playoff games one year for the Kamloops Blazers. Anyways, good player. And great guy.
Yeah, fun. Always fun having him on the show.
So we were talking about Shen before we got to Brownie.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to continue the conversation?
Luke Shen to Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Or what about Braden Shen?
Oh, okay. Braden. Okay.
Do you get the sense that there's a lot more suitors than the city that were in?
Not at Doug Armstrong's price.
Okay.
I think if he always has the option of shedding money, which the reason why we had so many names out there as possible trades was because there's a lot of guys that he was listening on, and I think he's got the option of losing $5-8 million in the summer. Mm-hmm. And Kyrou's a very good player and would draw a ton of interest. He's got to decide by July 1st if he wants to have the freedom to move him or keep him when the clauses kick in. Mm-hmm. Shen would be another one. Jordan Binnington would be another summertime decision. But right now, I think Jordan's made a plea, I think publicly, that we love each other and we want to be together and take a run at this. And probably that's what's going to happen in St. Louis.
Binnington's been really good since the Four Nations.
Well, maybe his confidence is at an all-time high.
Well,
right,
probably
now
feeling a little bit looser after bringing home a gold medal and getting all the respect and all the starts.
Sorry, since the start of the Four Nations, with the Four Nations and regular season included, he's 7-2-0, 2-1-2-14 goals against and a 9-15 save percentage, which is way up from his. Like, God, that's to me.
The trade to Pittsburgh to be an Oiler is kind of interesting with brother Luke.
Luke and Novak for Michael Bunting. I mean, I know there's more pieces, but no one cares about the picks and stuff.
Can I ask a very complicated question?
You would think flip.
Why?
For sure. You'd think flip.
Yeah, it seems to me like I bet they think Novak can replace Bunting's value. And then they can flip Shen and gain value on the deal there.
Or you could keep him and tell Sid you've got a big defenseman back there ready to step in and help you out next October.
Sid's pretty smart. I mean, Luke's fine, right? But he's not going to move the needle for the Penguins.
He's big and heavy.
Yeah.
And he can help you.
Yes. Like, listen, I'm not trying to denigrate Luke Shen.
He can, if you're adding him to a contending team where he plays in your bottom pair, he helps you.
Yeah.
But like, hey, Sid, we got Luke Shen, that's probably not the greatest sell.
No, it's just, it buys you time.
That's the point I'm
all. It just buys you a little bit of time and a good guy in the room. Listen, I'm grasping at straws for this organization here.
Maybe he just wants to get Nick Robertson back so desperately, so he's going to trade him to the Leafs.
Maybe. I can see it. I could see him getting Nick Robertson. But yeah, it makes sense for me from the Penguins. I think Novak is one of those guys, the numbers sneaky like, you know, that you could see as undervalued.
Luke makes a lot of money, guys, too.
He does.
275, I believe. That's not chump change.
But yeah, you say you're grasping at straws for the Penguins.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
It's a weird trade.
I don't think it's that weird.
No?
Bunting, is he even any good?
No, he's hurt, too. I think he had like something went on with him where he's been out for a while. But anyways, you want to do game time?
Game time.
All right. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. I'm just pulling up. Yesterday, we talked about the Coach of the Year, Jack Adams Award, and I couldn't figure out how to pull it up on the fly, but I pulled it up here now. And the extreme heavy favorite is Spencer Carberry.
Yes.
Minus 650.
Oh, my God.
Dean Evason, as you mentioned, in the conversation, is the only one that's even close to Spencer Carberry. It is plus 450 for Dean Evason, so he's the second favorite. And then it drops all the way down to Scott Arneil at plus 3,500.
I think he should be tighter with that first two group.
Agreed. Scott Arneil deserves way more credit.
Way more respect.
Jets talk.
Yeah, Jets are going to win the President's Trophy, and I don't think anyone picked him for that preseason.
And then the next closest to him is Marty St. Louis at 40-1. The stair runner. When we all called him out for running the stairs that turned around their season, Kipper, we lit a fire underneath them. The favorite for the, and this one makes me sick as I look at this, the favorite for the Hart Memorial Trophy, Leon Draisaitl at minus 150.
So
when we talked about it was 25-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably should put a couple of buckets on that one.
Just.
Yeah. And I talked about it. I'm like, what a great number. You got to get it. So that minus 150. The next closest, guys, who do you think the next closest is?
Nate.
Nope.
Cooch?
Nope.
Oh, Hellebuck.
Hellebuck, plus 130. So he's close there. And then it's Nathan MacKinnon all the way down at plus 750. Kucherov, 18-1. Connor McDavid, 35-1. Werenski, 45-1. So some interesting stuff there.
Werenski's been very good, by the way. Ton of points.
Yeah, and if you're interested in him for the Norris, he is the second favorite at plus 220. Kale McCarr is minus 140. Quinn Hughes missed a bunch of time.
I tell you, don't hate that plus 220 on Werenski.
Yep. And Quinn Hughes missed a bunch of time, especially if they get in the playoffs. And so Quinn Hughes is down to plus 350 because he's been out for a long time. Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
Mm-hmm, we get a trade to talk about in the show.
We're making phone calls.
Let's go. Get one on.
We're going to go to break and we're all going to talk to someone and try to get a piece of information.
All right, plenty more to cover. Eastern Conference, Western Conference. What Sammy had for lunch today. Plenty more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kipper's Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365.
You teased my lunch before the break.
I did. Share it because I don't have a trade.
Grilled cheese.
Yep.
With a little lentil soup. And when I do my grilled cheese.
Did your mom make you lunch?
No, I made it myself. I make my own lunch every day. And I like to slice purple onions really, really thin. So they're almost like translucent.
Yeah,
and I put them on the grilled cheese. And
sounds amazing. Cheese. Sounds like
I don't
heck
have
of
one
a
very
lot.
Often, but I love a grilled
processed cheese.
No, no. I mean, like whatever Cracker Barrel is that processed?
No, we'll give you good cheddar.
Okay, yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah.
When's the last time you grilled a cheese?
I love to cook.
Oh, you do? Okay, that's right. Yeah,
I do.
I like to do it.
I like to barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, but I have like five things. In the Rolodex, and I do them okay, and I do them over and over.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over, the same five to six things, and I can do them okay.
Can't go wrong with
the grilled cheese. Not exactly Gordon Ramsay over here.
Idiot sandwich.
So, Sammy, it must warm your heart when you see the Panthers make another trade, right, with Nico Sturm.
Yeah, great.
Nico Sturm. They got Kakinen and Vanacek behind Bob now. Do they not trust Bob?
I'll read the little...
Bob could...
Bob is,
Bob's great.
What about
Bob's
Bob?
Your uncle?
But Bob could go south every once in a while and need a game or two to reset.
He gets a little squirrely from time to time. The Florida Panthers are continuing their spending spree ahead of the Friday's deadline. The Panthers have acquired Nico Sturm and a seventh-round pick from the San Jose Sharks for a fourth-round pick. Sturm, 29, has been a third-line center this season, tallying 7 goals and 6 assists over 47 games for the last-place Sharks. His -4 rating is third best amongst forwards on the Sharks that have played at least 30 games. There's a scouting report for you.
All right, sure.
Won the cup with the Colorado Avalanche. He'll go there. He'll be good.
Just wanted to give a quick shout out to DJ Bean and Pete Blackburn, who are who just started a 24-hour trade deadline show, which is insane. That is the most insane thing. Why are they doing that?
Well, you could get that 4 a.m. blockbuster.
It's awesome. Right? I mean, credit to him.
And tell nobody.
Credit to him.
Until, like, 3 hours later.
One year I was with the Score, and we had a couple of guys in a room doing a drinking game to the trade deadline. This is back when, I don't know, anything went.
Yeah.
And every time that, you know, cap crunch, certain words came up, they had to drink. Duffy found out about it.
Uh-huh.
Someone tweeted him, and he just said all the words. And we just got two interns just ruined the Score.
Yeah, cool, though.
That was how unserious our deadline coverage was.
And you still work today?
Yeah, well, I did go to rehab, so we hit a few speed bumps along the way to get where we are now. But anyway.
Oh, gosh.
You worked the deadline for years.
And I was like, when the internet was barely invented.
Yeah.
Smoke signals to announce a trade.
But tough days, right? Like, although you were on the phone a lot.
We were on the phone. Yeah, I did a lot of that, and I was fortunate enough early in my career to break trades for Sportsnet. I did. I was pissing off Bob McKenzie, too.
Well, I remember that. I remember that you had the accidental DM that went public. And
yeah, it was fantastic. It was so much fun back then.
It was competitive.
Yeah, really
back
competitive.
Back in our day.
There was nothing better to me than, like, that era of trade deadline where it was the two dueling ones and people and you didn't have Twitter.
Yeah.
You didn't have like
Twitter's ruined a lot of the fun.
I turned that baby on at 8 a.m. I took school off. I took work off and I sat there for 8 hours and just hung on every word.
But by
everyone
the time
said.
It's set on TV now, you've known for 10 minutes.
100%.
You know,
we were the first ones to introduce like phones. Before, you could not bring up your phone. When I first started broadcasting, they were like, you don't bring up your phone, and it was frowned upon if your phone rang on the set.
Sarah Valli, who we were going to have on today and may talk to at some point, I don't know, says that the Devils and Ryan O'Reilly are getting close. Says Kudeva, he has 2 years left on his deal. They've expressed interest in him.
Yeah.
But enough so that he's tweeting about it, probably a bit of a thing.
Hmm.
If I had to guess.
Okay, we'll pick up on that. I was just saying that, I don't know, remind me what I was saying.
Trade deadline, phone's on.
Oh, yeah. So we were like, no, bring him on and let him ring. And if you need to get up off the desk, you get off the desk.
Well,
that was
that
never
adds
done.
To the intrigue.
Yes.
Never done before.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where Bobby Torrens, I won't mention my producer's name. Oh, I did already. He'd say, okay, get up now.
Yeah.
Really?
We got nothing. We need you to step
away. And then he'd go to commercial break.
Yeah.
And that's then everybody really be like, good. He'd be like, oh, Kipper's just taking a call right
He's
now.
He's got something.
He got something. Don't go away.
Telling his wife to make a grilled cheese with purple onion.
Drake would be like, oh, we'll be back with Kipper.
Get the lentil soup going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, that sounds fun. Well, this year we do have... All of the usual suspects are going to be on Sportsnet's coverage. I saw Colby Armstrong in the building. Biz is going to be here.
Oh, I'll be home eating a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yes, and we will be here to tie a bow on everything from 5 p.m. to 7.
5 p.m. to 7, where we'll still welcome in Doug McClain.
Yes.
Is he scheduled?
And we're national the whole time.
I haven't talked to him, but I would imagine he's good to go. Have you talked to him?
I have not.
Really?
I have not.
He doesn't talk to me, so.
So, couple things. I don't know if you saw this Brock Nelson thing worth talking about, that CJ Christiansen saying that there's maybe it's not a guarantee or they haven't really approached him, that they're going to move him. He's already been crying on the Jumbotron, crying in the club.
This is mental.
If they don't trade him, man.
The Islanders are currently behind Boston, Montreal, Detroit, and the Rangers, and then Ottawa and the Blue Jackets are in. Now, they're only 4 points out, technically. So you could see Lou being like, we have a chance. We're 4 points out. We go on a run here.
Where do you think Islander ownership is at? Mm. And this is not just about Lou and 3 p.m. No. Eastern tomorrow. This is about where is Lou going?
Is Lou the GM next year? Do we want him to make a monster decision here, give
is
Nelson
his
a seven-year contract?
Is it still his team this summer at the draft? Is it still his team July 1st? And is it his team to manage on a day-to-day basis?
I think
by
that's
next
such a great,
fall.
That's such a great point.
I don't think there's an answer right now. I do think that they have considered what next options might look like. Because Lou is 82.
How can you not?
Yeah, you have to start making succession plans. His son does work as an AGM there. But there's a lot of people. It's a highly coveted job. I also wonder for this year, they just built that new beautiful barn. Do you think they're really pushing for a couple of home gates? Home, you know, like trying to make playoffs this year just to a lot of money in for these owners.
Is it the 3 or 4 points? Is it the 4 or 5 teams you got to jump over? Do the math. How many of those teams above you are playing each other and getting 3-point games? It's a long shot at best. Just
they probably need 30 points from their last 21 games.
Which would give them what?
86. That would give them
93. I'm not even sure. Will that be enough?
It'll be enough. In the East, it'll be a low number, I think, to get in. But can the Isles go 15-6 when on the year they're 500?
At some point, you got to stop playing that card of.
Yeah, but now's the point. You got to do it now. You got to trade Brock Nelson now. They need to trade Brock Nelson. He is in decline. They are not likely to make playoffs. They need to be honest with themselves and not be worse in the coming years.
Yeah.
Trying to get two home games.
And Palmieri is a free agent as well, right?
He's got 20 goals this year. Someone will take him as a depth guy.
Obvious.
Pajot would be a great fit for someone. They have guys. They need to commit. Beating Winnipeg the other night was the worst thing to happen to him.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, where's Nashville with Ryan O'Reilly here? Because we know it's been a miserable year, but can they not pull a Washington Capitals and regroup and get some different faces and keep core guys and get back? Yeah. Can they not pull a Washington Capitals?
You know what?
Capitals?
I don't think so. They went too old. They weren't good enough, and now who are they built around? Like Stamkos, Forsberg, and Marchessault? Is that? You're going up against Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg?
I could see, I don't know, he's probably got a no move, but Marchessault, could you convince him to move on?
Probably. They're terrible. He's very
competitive.
You're
going to keep Stamkos.
I guess.
Out of the two of them.
By the way, O'Reilly just occurred to me. Did he not love Sheldon Keefe? Wasn't that part of a thing with Toronto?
I don't know.
Or maybe it was just Toronto market in general.
Yeah, some people have suggested.
There's a lot of smoke and fire around that situation.
Yeah.
Maybe a combo of both.
I have no inside knowledge on what the issue was with Ryan O'Reilly when he left the Toronto Maple Leafs, other than it just wasn't his cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
That he needed some sort of life outside the rink.
Yeah.
And we know at Toronto it can get really goofy.
Yeah.
So.
If you're a Leafs fan, you are enjoying
Nashville's
struggling.
He knows the coverage in Nashville wouldn't be Toronto-centric for sure, and that wouldn't be an issue. But I don't know. I think he made a commitment to Nashville, and I can't see him.
You don't think he'll go anywhere?
I don't know. I can't see him wanting to
move. I will
move.
Say that tweet says they've expressed an interest in him. That doesn't say that something's almost done.
Yeah.
Bruins taking calls on Marchand. That's from the fourth period.
Yeah.
They can take as many calls as they want, but he doesn't want to go anywhere. And it's hard to really commit to bringing a guy of that stature if he's not super excited.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's an issue in itself.
You don't want him going reluctantly to some other team.
And I don't know where they are with the contract.
It would excite him to play for Colorado.
I think Boston is very willing to sign him to a contract, but it's probably not what he envisioned months ago or going into the season on what an extension can be. But he still wants to retire a Boston Bruin, and that means something to him and his family. And it's got Boston's had a reputation of looking after their players, and we know what it took for Chara to eventually leave. But how old was Chara when he went? 41?
Yeah.
Old. Right? And it was just to extend. It was very mutual.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we don't want him anymore. It's just
like, would Marchand not do 2 times 5 for 10? Something like that. It's probably not enough.
I have no idea what kind of numbers it would take from both sides. That one I have not been able to wrap my head around.
So, to this point, of all the trades that have been made, and we still have under 24 hours to the deadline, what do you think is the most consequential? Like, who's gotten the best so far? Is it the Panthers getting Seth Jones for you? Is it what Tampa did? Is it Edmonton getting Trent Frederick? Like, of those three, I guess, those are the ones that have a lot of consequence. Riley Smith went back.
Seth Jones is for 5 years.
Yeah, the Edmonton one still, he's hurt. He's not playing. It doesn't sound like he's going to play anytime soon. That one was, to me, I would have gone and got a defenseman with a second and a fourth that could play 15, 17 minutes
in Edmonton. I just love that guy for them. And maybe I'm not thinking of the reality of, are they going to get that guy by the time they need that guy?
Yeah.
What's his contract? He's an RFA?
Yeah, I think he's UFA.
UFA. So curious to see what they end up doing there.
If Florida, and I'll use a term that Steve Alicat used on our show Tuesday, can rehabilitate Seth Jones.
What, Seth?
And they've how many defensemen have they done that with in the last few years?
What, they made Gustav Forsling into...
Yeah, they claimed him on waivers now.
Yeah. Like, They've got rock star status in turning guys' careers around.
Remember peak New England Patriots where they were like winning Super Bowls and they would just bring in the most emotionally flawed humans who were talented and all of a sudden they were like fell in line?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm watching Sam Reinhart in Buffalo early in his career and I'm like, I don't think he's going to be a real player.
I honestly had the same thought. He can't skate.
He's not getting to the net. Nothing happens when he's on the ice.
And then the Four Nations faceoff starts and he's playing with Connor McDavid on the top line.
After scoring a gazillion goals and helping his team win the Stanley Cup.
He's like 100 goals in the last calendar year.
Including the game winner in the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, I believe.
Do you know, it was the game winner in Game 7 of the Cup Final.
Yeah,
is that good?
That's a pretty big goal.
Seems good. Seth Jones is averaging 23 minutes of ice time per game this
year. And that's going to come down and he's going to get better with less
Jones
minutes.
Who skates and has less responsibility, and suddenly people are going to be like, boy, Florida fixed him. And it's like, well, yeah, they didn't ask him to be prime headman.
No, there's other good players on their team.
Yeah.
So,
and sometimes when you pass the puck up, someone makes a play with it. You get to play in the offensive zone when you're in Florida.
In his debut, he did play 22:56 for the Panthers.
To your earlier point, I do look at Tampa Bay and I see down the middle Point, Cirelli, and Gord, and I'm like,
Point, Cirelli, and Gord. Now, is that better than Domi, Kampf, Tavares?
Well, you left out Matthews.
I was selective.
It's a challenge for sure.
It is. It's a big matchup challenge.
Then that's Bjorkstrand too on that third line.
I love the thing that terrifies me is that, you know, Tampa's really good at knowing what fits. And a lot of people were talking about Gord being older, Gord being banged up, all the sort of conversations around Gord. And there's nobody that would know him as well as John Cooper. Like, they won together in Milwaukee, right? Like, he was part of that group that came up with Tyler Johnson and all those different guys. I I just, he's going to go there and that's going to be a seamless fit and he's going to score 3 playoff goals against the Leafs.
I bet they're not done. I do.
Really?
Well, you look at Tampa and they're so close. Gensel, Point, Kucherov, Hagel, Cirelli, Paul, Gord, Bjorkstrand.
Yeah.
Pretty loaded. But after that, it's Gonsalves, Chafee, Glendinning, Gergensen's. Only okay.
And I,
couple of names.
I've said this before, but I'll say it again. This team kind of changed with a 35-year-old Ryan McDonagh.
Yeah, with him being like prime Ryan McDonagh, or you know, very good Ryan McDonagh.
Very good.
Yeah.
So,
and these guys, it also helps when you talked about excitement. They love going back to where they've won.
Yeah.
Right. McDonagh is happy to be back. Gord's happy to be back. Riley Smith's going back to Vegas.
Apparently, he's fired up.
Thrilled.
Yeah. How could you not be?
Yeah.
Like I went to when I went to that Vegas Pittsburgh game last year, and he wasn't playing. He was banged up. But they, like, put him up on the Jumbotron as, like, welcome back. It was his first time back. The woman beside me in the crowd was crying. Like, they're like, oh, my God, Riley. Yeah. Like, he is a beloved figure in Vegas.
Yeah.
Those guys all know him. Like, that's going to fit like a glove. He's going to be perfect there. Like, all these teams just get the perfect guy all the time. Why is it?
That's perception.
Vegas?
Not true.
Yeah, it's perception. They go to the conference finals every year. Go to the final every year. It's perception. Every Florida team goes to the final every year. This works out for these Southern teams, man. They don't have to.
You want
to
jump off the set a little early and go get your crying towel?
So I'll ask you about this. When do you think the flurry starts here? Because there's going to be a flurry, right?
Yeah, in theory.
Like, is it tonight? Early tomorrow?
Don Waddell, who's a guest kind enough to join us yesterday, yeah. General manager, president,
yep.
Said prices drop.
The morning of.
The morning of.
A lot of teams going, yeah, well, this guy's a second. We'll trade you for a second. We'll trade you for a second. Oh, we're going to get nothing?
Seconds third become time. Thirds. Thirds become fourths.
Yeah.
But you, so, you have to have some guts to wait, eh? Like, just to.
Yeah, the people you may want shopping or buy someone else.
Yeah.
Won't be the same that Alex Kerfoot's off the trade board.
He is off.
Yeah, they signed a bunch of guys last night.
One year, $3 million.
$3 million. Ian Cole and
Ian Cole's not
Vemelka.
Vemelka
got like almost $24 million.
He's really good.
What was his deal, Sammy? 5 years.
I think it was five
for $23 million.
Let me just look it up.
Devils got Dumoulin, right? They're gonna work on getting Brian Dumoulin in tomorrow, trying to get him into town.
Quickly looking up the
this Jack Hughes thing, they spend his money.
They cannot wave the white flag on the season.
Yeah, they're talking, they're in playoffs. They're talking about O'Reilly. They traded for Dumoulin. They're not rolling over.
Vemelka signed a 5-year, $4.75 million per season contract with the Utahns. The Utah Hockey Club.
I don't know who this guy texted before, but there's a Brisebois quote that says, the calculation is that trying to fail will lead less regret than failing to try.
I said that.
Yeah, I know.
That was his. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that was his quote. Did, that's where you got it
no,
from.
No, I said it.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know.
He said it was his quote.
No, you didn't. You withheld that.
I thought you just like went deep on us there.
No. I said I like this quote.
Oh, okay.
And it was from him. I thought you guys knew that.
No. I didn't.
I thought you were just making a philosophical observation.
No, I was reading his quote. Guys, don't give me that much credit.
In retrospect, we were very dumb to give
that up. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Tonight's exciting, boys. I'm hoping there's a couple late-night trade tonight, maybe. We're getting into the
I'm more convinced that the Leafs have a two-player deal, a forward and a D from one team in the hopper here.
Mm.
Philadelphia Flyers.
That's the hope. Risto makes sense.
I'll take him.
Yeah,
I'll take him for the Leafs. He'd
also
make things more interesting.
Also, a big deal. Stephen A. Smith signed for $100 million with ESPN. 5 years, $100 million.
Him and Kipper got the same deal.
Is that about? I was going to ask. Is that you guys same agent or what?
Stop it, you guys. All right. Our thanks to Rob Brown.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And the callers.
Yep.
Have a great night, everybody. We're back off of the rails Friday. Doug McClain, 5 to 7 Eastern tomorrow.